Good to be back here at this midweek service. I hope that you're falling over the hump and you'll roll down the rest of the week for the Lord. Good to see all of you here. Good to have visitors with us tonight. Glad our Bible clubs went well. We'll be looking in the book of John tonight, the book of John. We had been studying the apostles, the 12 apostles, looking at them person by person. And we added the Apostle Paul for 2 weeks. And some might say, well, what is our job? What's our job today as Christians? And so that's what we're going to look at. Remember in the beginning when we talked about disciples. A disciple was a learner. And an apostle was a sent one, someone that was sent. So today we're going to look a little bit at what we are today as God's children. John and we'll skip around in John 17 for just a little bit. John chapter 17. Of course, John 17 is where Jesus began to pray. And before we go, Brother Jim, we need to add Miss Kathy to the prayer list. She is one of the bus rider's grandmas. She is having surgery. Miss Kathy. Add her to the prayer list. One of them came up to me a while ago when I was coming in. All right. So Jesus began his prayer there for us and for the world and the apostles and those that would get saved afterwards. Let's read starting 17:17. 17:17, then we'll just spend a little bit of time, maybe 2 weeks in this. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now Jesus is praying here. It's a long prayer. It's not a short prayer. He's praying, spending time with God, talking about the apostles and about how they are to represent him, and then those that believe on after he is gone get saved and trust the Lord as their personal Savior. That they would believe, and he prayed for them in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. So, if you'll go to Acts 11, you'll see here that there is an attachment made to people that were in the way. It started out, as you study scriptures through the book of Acts, those that were in the way. What way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So people began to mark people that were in the way. In Acts chapter 11, verse number 26, by this title. Now in the beginning it was not a good title, but it has stuck. Verse 26 of Acts 11, And when they had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And so he's praying for those. These are the ones that heard, because Christ ascended in Acts chapter 1. And these here are part of those that Jesus prayed for in verse 20. And of course, we are also up to this day. And any, like 2 weeks ago, in the Bible clubs, we had three young folks come to the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. And that is through the Word. Sanctified through thy Word is truth. And so here in Acts chapter 11, people begin to be called Christians first in Antioch, and it kind of stuck here. Now, many people today claim to be disciples of Christ. Many. They hear about him, and they decide to come and see. You know, maybe something in life triggers them, or, you know, their thought, but that's a crazy word. It gets their attention. Don't be triggered. Live. Life. Listen, you don't have to stop and go to every argument you're invited to. Somebody says something wrong, and just move on. Take a deep breath and live. You know? So let's get back over here to Christians. So they hear something. Maybe something, you know, the Word of God was maybe at a vacation Bible school years and years and years ago. You know, I remember as a lost child going to a vacation Bible school and making a clay pottery thing. Actually, what we made was an ashtray. That's what we made years ago. Brought it home. Had a verse in the scripture verse in it. And boy, we did that. I remember that. Years ago, but you know, the Bible talks about scattering the word. It's like seed. You know, sometimes it falls on good ground, bad ground, thorny ground, stony ground. You know, and something happens. Well, people hear and they, I want to know more about this Jesus, and some only take it as simply, Brother Ray, as an academic interest. What can I know about this man, Jesus? And it's not enough to know. There's knowledge. Listen, knowledge never, ever, ever alone will lead to salvation. Too many people know, I know about him. And he says, listen, you know me, but I don't know you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. We got to have an understanding of our heart. For where the heart man believeth in righteousness, and with the tongue and mouth and confession is made. If you want to know and understand that knowledge is not enough, go back and read the Gospel of John chapter 3 and see. There was a very educated man. Nicodemus was learned in Scripture, but it was not enough. It's not enough to be just educated and have knowledge in there. We must make a choice. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. How many of you ever watched The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom, or read the book? In this portion of the movie, they're having to put on their star, the Jewish star, and the father, Mr. Ten Boom, decides, I'm just going to go do it. And then his pastor came and talked to him. And while they're talking, they brought in a Jewish baby that they're trying to get out of the town and into the countryside so that the baby may have an opportunity. And boy, the pastor's a little bothered by it. And Corey says this after he leaves. He said, how can anybody, and I don't know exactly the whole verbatim, but how can anybody go to a church and call themselves a Christian and not want to help the innocent like that? And Corey's father, Mr. Ten Boom, said this, just because a mouse spends a whole lot of time in a cookie jar doesn't make him a cookie. Just because a whole lot of people spend a whole lot of time in church don't make you a Christian. Thank God for it. Forsake not the assembly. My dear friend, if you're depending on the amount of times you can show up in church, oh, I've got some children that would have never, ever had to call out on the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior if it was about being in church. But they were all sinners. All have to come to a point of realization and knowing that Jesus Christ died for their sin debt, and they have to make a choice. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Look at verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You got to make a choice. You got to come to a point and you listen. All the Scripture, all the surrounding ourselves with the Word of God, Sunday school teachers, when we present Christ and we present, the Gospel, and we present the Bible, and we sow the Word of God out there, all of this here leads to a point to help someone come to know that they need Christ, and there has to be a decision made. Do we believe God or not? It's that simple. The Bible says the Scripture... Verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. People have to come to a point that they realize that God says, my Son is the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by my Son. It was my Son that died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of mankind. It was my Son that God said, my Son, Jesus Christ the righteous. It was Him that pleased me for the atonement of mankind. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've got to get to a point where we make a choice and we understand that it is Jesus. Have you made that decision? What will you do about Jesus Christ? Listen, we got to get to a point where we believe Him and accept Him and His sacrificial payment. And disbelief, dear friend, in Christ, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. Listen, any disbelief in Christ. Well, I believe this Bible, but I don't know about... How can a man, because he was God, manifest in the flesh? And listen, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I can't understand these folks that say they believe in Christ. There's never been a change. It's wrong within them, not from without. There's not a change from without that we can do. We're like whited sepulchres. We've just cleaned up the outside. But on the inside, we're dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. But in Christ, we're made alive. In Christ. And so in Acts chapter number 11, verse 26, they were first called Christians. What? They were first identified as little Christ, little bitty Christians. And they were, there was a difference about them that was noticeable. God changes our lives when He moves in. Now, is there times that we slip, fall, and falter? Yes, oh God, yes. Wish to God it wasn't so, but there's a law that lies within us according to Romans chapter 7. It's a law called sin. Now, after we're saved, after we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, there has to be daily choices. Just like we chose Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, said, Lord, I am not good enough. I've worked, I've labored, but there are works. I can't even muster up works of righteousness. And boy, we accept the free gift of God by choice, and we become His child, and afterwards, dear friend, we still have to make choices. We gotta choose to abide in Christ. Look in John chapter 8. It's a daily choice. You want fruit, you got to choose to live a life in Christ. John chapter 8, verse 31. John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So there was a point. They trusted Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Listen to what it says. If ye continue where? In my word. Then are ye my disciples indeed. I'm a little bit bum-fuzzled, is it? Even if that's a word by folks that say they know Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, and have no time to read God's Word. I mean, we can post 55 memes on Facebook about a Hermit the Frog, or Kermit the Frog, but can't find time to spend 2 seconds reading a verse of Scripture. Listen what it says. I mean, we got to make a choice to believe God in what He says. What verse did I just tell you? 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. They got saved. He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know why Christians run around here trapped up in this kind of stuff and trapped up in that kind of stuff and falling off in this kind of stuff? You know why pastors running off into with Sunday school teachers and choir directors and evangelists' wives? You know why? Too much golf and not enough God. Amen. Too much hunting and not enough Bible. We get big in our own eyes as God's men. I don't need a Bible. You know, I just get up there and make it out. I'll tell you, Brother Jim, one time I was working on a sermon as a young preacher. This almost hindered me. As a young preacher and a man that I looked up to in the Lord, he said, my soul, son, you've been working on that sermon for about 8 hours now. I could have worked that up in about 30 minutes. Almost knocked me out of the saddle because I looked up to him. I mean, I looked up to him. Well, maybe he's a great preacher, Brother Ray. I mean, he moves it when he preaches, so maybe all I need is 8 minutes into this thing or 30 minutes into it. Now, you'll be good enough. Because the young preacher almost got me. And I started reading verses like that. God says, you'll be my disciple indeed if you spend time in my word. Listen, remember Peter? Peter was a sailor by trade. I mean, fishermen by trade. And fishermen and sailors, we know how they, their vocabulary is a little bit different, you might say. All right, Brother Bill would tell us, if I'd let him up here tell him, hey, Brother Bill, we'll just pray and ask God to forgive you. Come tell us how you used to talk about 20 years ago. Some of us still probably talk that way today if we're not careful. But you remember, Peter, then old Matthew. Remember Matthew? We studied the apostles now. We've been through them. Matthew was greedy, a thief for the taxation. I mean, he had a greedy heart. And Simeon, remember Simeon, the zealot? That was likened unto the Taliban back then. That was likened unto ISIS back then. They were called terrorists in their day, zealots. What did Jesus do for them? Changed them. I mean, Oh, Peter became to a point where in Acts chapter 2 that he was no longer cursing and denying God, but he came to a point because of the work of God in his life that he began to preach with power and conviction in 17 different dialects. Heard him preach in their own tongue. All those folks want to grab them little tongues, and they want to skip past that. They heard him speak. No, Matthew. Never once again. Didn't want the job of holding the book, the bag. You'd think he'd have been perfect for it. He'd done been reckoning all his life on numbers. He didn't even want to hold the bag for the church. Well, Simon. Never once again do we hear about him. What do we hear? Those that have turned the world upside down and come hither. In Acts it says this about them. The priests, the scribes, the Pharisees were astonished because they had been with Jesus. It's been with Jesus. The matter of fact, they called them unlearned, but was astonished because they'd been with Jesus. Let me tell you something, people take note when you spend time with Jesus. Preacher, how do we do that? You got to get in the boat. You got to get in that book. What's our job today? To be conformed to the image of Christ. How's it going to happen? Get in that Bible. Know the mind of Christ. Study the Word. Spend time with it. Find time to fellowship more with God's people. I would, but I don't like them. Oh, hold up. We know we've passed from death unto life, Brother Johnson. Why? Because we love the brethren. It's a character trait of saved people to want to be around other saved people. It's that simple. It'd be at a point where we're willing to be transformed by the power of God. Well, how's that? We're going to have to be renewed. I'll tell you what, I learned a whole lot of stuff in my life as a lost man. I mean, I learned a whole lot of stuff. And when I got saved, that whole lot of stuff that I learned as a lost man, it was like contrary to the spirit that had moved in. Well, no, preacher, ain't nothing ever been contrary to the, you know, I've never rubbed the spirit wrong. Really? I have quenched him big time. With attitude, with words, with things. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Just remember, when I set something wicked before my eyes, you think that don't quench the Holy Spirit of God? The Scripture says what we should do. You know, this is the problem. I found in my own heart, my own life, this is very simple. Whenever I have someone that brings something up to me that is something in my life that I, you know, that is either through preaching or through a song or through conversation, through testimony, and I'll say this, well, God's convicted them. He ain't really worked on me yet. All Scripture. If it's biblical, dear friend, and it's brought to our attention, and we don't choose to obey that Scripture, we are committing a sin of omission. We're just omitting that portion. That's not for me. Which then becomes a sin of commission. I'm just choosing now. Because before, I didn't really know. So I was like, well, oh, I didn't know, but now I know. Now I'm choosing by choice to do it. Listen, God is such, if we're willing to do whatever He asks us to do, if we just say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever You ask me to do, and we never open that book, how in the world are we ever going to do what He's asked us to do? It ain't enough to hear me. Because this is what's going to happen when you hear me. And listen, I thank God for you. I'm glad you come to church. I'm glad you're here. Every time I'm preaching, I want to look out there. It's encouraging to see folks sitting in those pews. It's encouraging. But if the only thing you're going to do is what I say to do, one day I'm going to falter and fall, and then you're going to be hindered in your walk. But if you get in that book, you stay in that book, you say, man, preacher's going right along with what the Bible says. Man, look at what the Bible says. Wow, look at what the Bible says. Before long, our conversation changes. Well, the preacher says, well, the deacon says, well, the Sunday school teacher, you know what it says? Well, the Bible says. And the Bible's forever settled. Then we have no excuses. Well, I'm just mad, and I ain't going to do it because of the deacons or the teacher, the preacher or the son. I'm just because of man. We have no excuses because this is not man's book. It's God's book. It's His word. His word. And so therefore, our job is to get into this book and have our life be conformed to Christ, so that we can do what Christ left us here to do. And what was that? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. And that's where we'll pick up next week. In Acts chapter number 1, verse 8. We'll continue this thought. As we go through here. If you didn't get anything else tonight, I hope you got that the Bible is important. If you didn't get that, man, live, I missed it. I messed up big time. But God didn't, because He said to us, study to show yourself approved unto God. How to do that? Rightly dividing the word of truth. It's your responsibility. My responsibility. Well, it's my job, dear friend, to preach truth. It is. But there could be a day that I just stand up here and, you know, listen to this. People can twist it up like this. I got 4 minutes. Adam, in the book of Genesis, Adam was given dominion over what? Over everything, right? Fish, fowls. So therefore, having dominion, he must have had to be able to swim like a fish and fly like a bird. Because God gave him dominion. Well, you know, the Avengers have that power. Yeah, Marvel Comics, boy, they have it. Well, maybe preacher's right. Really? This is how we get thrown off. I mean, we just get slapped, thrown off the back end of a pickup truck because we allow ourselves to be taught by this world. And not comparing Scripture with Scripture, we find ourselves in error. God did give Adam dominion over him, but it didn't mean he had to swim like a dolphin. It meant he could catch it and eat it and enjoy it. It didn't mean he could soar like an eagle. It meant when that dove came over, and he got it, had dominion, and enjoyed dove soup. It meant that Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. And the birds and fish and fowls of the air were not. They are creatures created by a creator God. And we as men were to care and to watch over and protect and to provide over those things. Don't let yourself get all messed up because of some comic book you read. That's man's thoughts. If you like Marvel, I'm okay with that. If you like Batman, good. Enjoy Batman. But I'll tell you, Batman ain't got nothing to do with Jesus or the Bible. Don't mix up the Incredibles with the incredible book. Father, we love you. We've had fun tonight in the house of God. We've enjoyed spending time with each other. We've enjoyed looking through the Word of God. We have spent some time, Lord, looking at the apostles, their faults, their failures, their families. Lord, they had a great future because of you, our Savior. And Lord, our future is bright. If we know you as our personal Lord and Savior, we'll spend eternity in heaven with you. Lord, there's plenty around us that have not yet believed on Jesus. Help us, Lord, to do our part as your disciple, as your messenger of the day and the hour. Help us not to get hooked up on signs and wonders, but help us to lift up Christ. And if we do that, you'll draw all men to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.